The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to kick things off with the very first of our big debates on general election 2024. So over the next, but it's only kind of 3 weeks now, less than 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, we're going to be looking at all of the different issues and debating them. And we've split them up the following way. We're going to look at immigration, family, cost of living, crime, housing, and today, infrastructure. So yes, we've separated housing and infrastructure, given that housing is such a big issue in its own right. I'm sure there'll be kind of mention of it tangentially, though, in this discussion and debate over the next few minutes here on the show. With me to get into infrastructural issues and how it all might be improved into the future and what they and their parties would like to do on that front is Senator Roisin Garvey, a Deputy Leader of the Green Party, spokesperson as well for Rural Development and Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and the Green Party candidate in the Clare constituency. Keane O'Callaghan, who's a TD, Deputy Leader of the Social Democrats and a candidate in Dublin Bay North. Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland candidate for Roscommon Galway. And Shane Moynihan, who's a Fianna Fáil councillor and a candidate in Dublin Mid West. You're all very, very welcome, folks. And thanks a million for coming in to us. Michael, can I start with you and maybe start with transport infrastructure? What specific measures would you, if you found yourself sitting around a cabinet table or members of your party found themselves around the cabinet table, what would you do in terms of transport infrastructure in this country?
The first thing I would do, rather than people having these great ideas that they never deliver, first thing I would do in transport is deliver a school bus service to every child in the country. Because unfortunately, every year, when we talk about transport, and if you don't get people into it when they're young, we see chaos where youngsters are left behind in school transport. That's the first thing I would do. Second of all, we need to put infrastructure in place in the different places around this country. I believe we need light rail system in the line of Cork, in the line of Galway. We also need to make sure that we have proper transport services in Dublin. But let's not get carried away and say that we're going to deliver everything, because this costs money. And I remember in 2004, when there was a pipeline being done from Leixlip to Ballycoolan, and there was a huge field beside the golf course in Lucan, and it was going to be a park and ride. Not in one part of this country have we put in proper infrastructure for the likes of parks and park and ride that would maybe reduce traffic in cities. We look at the Galway Outer Ring Road, 30 years in the making. We look at them 20. And there's an opportunity here that the likes of the West Coast and the continental shelf for offshore wind. We are 5 years waiting for DMAPs. And until that does, it's like the starting gun to get going. And it would open up a huge opportunity from basically Kerry right up to Donegal. But you've got to put the road in place as well. And you've got to make sure that Finesport, Galway Port and Killybegs Port are brought in, and as well as that Killala, the way you give them all. Some of them, the likes of Fines, will be for heavy work. I know that the rail line will be done from Fines. We also need to make sure that we have connectivity through rail in from the main airports, be it Dublin. We have never, in the last 5 years, with all the talk about what we're going to do, there wasn't one new rail line laid other than now we're laying the Fines one. And if we, you know, you won't have money for everything. Let no one cut themselves.
Yeah.
When I say new roads, and you might say to me, Michael, how will we pay for some of this? I believe that you won't put roads there unless you do design and build and you pay for them by tolling. That's being straight about it. There's no point telling people that you're going to put everything everywhere and that shall be for nothing.
Would you contend, and I'm going to bring in everybody else in a moment, but would you contend, Michael, that we are and have been in the past poor at this type of infrastructural planning? You talked about kind of the offshore wind vision that we have for the West Coast and having the connectivity there in advance. We're not bad as a country at dealing with the problem once it arises. I'm not sure how great we've been in the past at recognising a problem before it arises.
The biggest problem, Ciarán, was that for many years, and in fairness, I came up the motorway today from Athlone. And that was actually in Bertie Ahern's time. It's the finest piece of infrastructure for us to get to Dublin. The biggest problem down through the years was Ireland was boom and bust, boom and bust. We had great ideas, but we ran out of money. And we want to make sure that we do this in a transitional way to keep going. On top of that, the big debate, and I was listening to it last night on about housing. God bless us, but most of them that was within talking about housing and the bull's clue what they were on about, when the first thing you need in housing is roads, sewer and water. And if you haven't the money put into that, and unfortunately at the moment, Irish Water aren't able to keep up. Most sewage treatment plants are on a red flag at the moment. And unless you put in the road, sewer and water, don't be talking about building 50 or 60,000 houses. You're only codding people and doing auction politics.
Senator Roisin Garvey, would you stand over the government's record on transport infrastructure over the last 4 years? How would you do things differently had the Green Party more influence around that table?
Yeah, I think we had a good bit of influence around transport in the last 4.5 years. I know that we increased the funding for regional and rural roads by 25% from 450 million to 600 million, despite us being accused of being anti-roads all the time. We actually increased the funding by 25%, or 33%, depending on how you look at it. We have changed the idea of public transport now crosses people's minds more than it ever did before. When you halve the price of public transport for everybody under the age of 26, even people like my son, who live like 5 miles from the closest bus stop, are now taking trains and buses that they wouldn't have done before because it's cheaper for them. So that's good as well, because, you know, some people have to drive cars and we need to give people choices. But we have huge traffic congestion issues and they have to be dealt with seriously. And it won't be solved by just keeping everybody in cars all the time. You know, some of us would like to have choices. I find getting the train to Dublin a much better way to travel than coming up the car. I've been here 4.5 years. I've taken the train... every time except 3 times, and each of those 3 times, boy was I sorry I did it, because you might get here 2.5 hours to the outskirts, but you could be another hour and a half getting across the city. So there is a serious problem there, and I suppose that's why we have looked at investing in walking infrastructure and cycling infrastructure. But there's basic things that we still have to look at, like the length of time the green man for a pedestrian is given is actually very short, I find. And if you're ever trying to cross the road with an older person or somebody with a young child, it's very stressful for them because they don't have enough time. So there's some basic stuff that are very low cost. And that's just the transport side. The local links, of course, I mean, absolutely transformative in the last few years. I have older people now getting gangs of them onto buses to go in to play bingo in towns they couldn't get to before. We have young people that are getting the local link for 50 cents or a euro instead of their parents having to drive them everywhere.
What would you do differently, or what more would you do if returned to government, the Green Party?
I would say we need to do more bypasses. We need to manage the roads. We got extra funding for local improvement schemes because the weather patterns have changed. There is more damage than ever before on smaller local roads that would have been built in bogs and places. So you see a lot more damage there. So we've increased the funding for that. That'll have to increase again. We'll have to increase our access to local links and rural bus services, because if they aren't regular and reliable constantly, like every hour, every village, then people won't switch. It has to be convenient and reliable. And we also see some issues, like there hasn't been proper investment in public transport in over 70 years. So in 4.5 years, you're not going to fix all the problems. But we definitely have made inroads. But we do need to increase train capacity. And we have new train lines coming on board. I mean, Fines has started. We need to get the Western Rail Corridor done as well. So yeah, there's you won't get it all sorted in 4.5 years. But give us 5 more and you'd never know.
Kian O'Callaghan, Social Democrats, how would you improve the living standards of constituents, be they in urban areas dealing with congestion and public transport shortcomings, or in rural Ireland dealing with kind of long commutes and maybe a complete lack of public transport over the next 5 years if in government?
I think in terms of rural areas, you know, local link is very important. Where they've been rolled out, they've been very successful. They're used well, but there's a huge potential there to have more capacity in terms of frequency, reliability in terms of local links. So I think that's really important for local areas. They are rural communities. They are successful and they're very good in terms of, you know, social isolation as well. People who mightn't otherwise get out and about, it gives them much more, you know, much more access to, you know, towns and villages and services. I think in more urban areas, in my constituency, for example, frequent complaint I get from people in my constituency who may live a few miles away from Dublin city centre, close to bus routes with multiple buses on it, is that they simply just cannot get on public transport. So they go out to their bus stop at 7:30 in the morning. They could be there till 8:30 in the morning with buses flying by them completely full. So they say, well, they've no option. But even though they're in an area very well served by public transport, one of the best served areas in the country by public transport, they say, you know, it doesn't work for them. They end up getting into the car for, it could be a journey into city centre or whatever. So you have to get some of the basics on this right. You know, getting on in, you know, high population areas have to have the capacity on public transport, as well as then delivering the bigger projects, which have been very slow to be rolled out.
How is that any different to what Shane is going to suggest beside you from a government point of view? You know, kind of let's keep going rural link, let's expand the public transport fleet, let's encourage people to get on buses.
Yeah, I think one of the key differences is that on our current trajectory in terms of what we're doing in terms of investment in public transport and in, you know, reducing our climate emissions overall, we're going to be paying out €8 billion in fines. So I think the difference is we'd rather use that money now to be investing in public transport and other measures to reduce our emissions, rather than us being in a situation in a few years of paying out €8 billion in fines, which would be the biggest single waste of public resources ever in the history of the state if that happens. So I think there is an urgency here to invest in public transport to help people, you know, get into to public transport if that's a good option for them. And not be paying out fines later on.
Do you get a sense from government, current government, or rather the outgoing government, what we call them, the transitionary government, that they have the same sense of urgency?
Well, I don't in terms of this, because if you look at their climate action plan, their target is a 51% reduction in emissions, but you add up all the measures in it, it comes to 29%. So the deficiencies in areas like public transport investment, you know, they don't add up. We are on course now for that massive waste of our resources in fines that would be better spent in infrastructure, including public transport.
Just to come in there, like 51% is still achievable. I don't know where you're getting, if you're saying we're only going to get 29%.
By 2030, we're not going to achieve it, because whoever
there's a will, there's a way. And I don't
we
think
signed up to delusional stuff.
Sorry, Michael.
People, everyone thought they were great when
that
they were doing
it. That was the Paris Agreement. And
yeah,
we had to,
yeah,
we had to
and
have
you
targets.
Went up and you ran in behind
and
it.
What's wrong with
the
targets?
The facts are we are not able to achieve it.
Would you stop shouting over me, please? So the Green Party in the manifesto have committed to €10 billion to public transport for this exact reason. Transport is our biggest target. It's 50% reduction in carbon emissions, and there's no point talking about it. We have to put the money behind it as well.
But do you, can I, and I do absolutely want to bring in Shane because he hasn't had a chance yet, but do you believe we can hit those targets?
I think we have no choice but to try our best.
But do you believe we can?
I think it can be done, yeah. I think if there's a will, there's a way. Like, look at the 700% increase in local link. They said that couldn't be done, and it's been done. And as Cian said, we don't have enough local link yet. So, I mean, if you build it, they will come. Look at the trains. I mean, you go to Ennis every 10 to 7 every morning. It's absolutely packed. Like, the demand is so high now, we can't keep up with capacity.
I admire
the
your room, which is why we have to increase. I tell you what, Cian, I do want to bring in Shane Moynihan, is a Fianna Fáil candidate, as I said, in Dublin Midwest, a councillor already for the party in that part of Dublin. Shane, do you believe that the trajectory that the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green government has put us on will lead to massive fines being paid as opposed to infrastructural investment?
I think the key thing for us, Ciarán, and having spoken to people in my constituency since July, public transport is a hot button issue for all of them. And ultimately, if we are going to deliver the reduction that we need to see in emissions and the increase of passengers on public transport, we need to deliver a system that is safe, effective and reliable. So that reliability needs to have a laser focus now on operational delivery, making sure that buses turn up on time, that the NTA are overseeing a bus system that doesn't incentivise ghost buses to appear, that makes sure that there's capacity there and that the suppliers can respond to putting on additional routes as the demand is there. The NTA has, I think, oversaw a bus transport system that is overly bureaucratic, that doesn't give that flexibility to providers to put extra buses in place. It also needs to be safe and attractive as an option as well. So that's why the proposal that we have for transport police on public transport is a key concern. I hear from older people especially that they don't feel safe travelling on public transport. We need to make an attractive choice for people, and we have to get away from, I think, from this narrative of it's public transport versus the rest. We need to make public transport a very viable option for people. Yes, I cycled to work for years, I got the bus to work for years, but I also need the car to bring my kids to hospital or to bring the grocery shop home as well. So we need to think about it in the round. But public transport is definitely a quality of life issue for commuters. They want us to see progress on it. We have the planning in place. We have the foundational stuff in place, like the reduced fare. What we need now is laser focus on operation delivery, making sure the buses run on time, because there's no point building the bus lanes if the buses don't turn up.
How will you improve the daily life of the car user? You know, there's a continued focus on public transport, understandably, and that's great for kind of the big urban conurbations. But for large parts of this country, kind of we've a very sparsely populated, a dispersed population, rather. And, you know, local link is great and everything, but it's not going to stop in front of everybody's door. And it's going to be people listening to this thinking, what about me? What about the driver?
No, it's not. And that's why keeping a focus on the two sides of road policy, both in terms of renewing and keeping them safe, but also investing in high capacity effective roads that connect to large urban centres that give that connection to people to get where they need to get to. Take somewhere that's been rural a few years ago that has grown massively in the last while, somewhere like Newcastle or Rathcoole in my constituency, where ultimately they have one small country lane effectively that is carrying a bucket load of traffic out of the area, but the bus also gets stuck in that as well. If we want to get those people out of their cars, we make a reliable bus service that reduces the congestion for everyone else who have to rely on a car. Mm-hmm. It's about creating choices for people in terms of the transport they have, not having a slavish adherence to public transport for public transport's sake, but actually saying, let's create choices for people and let them choose the most effective mode of transport that suits them.
That's exactly what I said at the beginning. They should give people choices because the cars are really essential, so they are, for people. So nobody is saying otherwise, but I mean, you're stuck in traffic. If you have to use a car, you don't want to waste your time stuck in traffic. So in Ennis, for instance, we have an Ennis Town bus service that's starting next year. That's every half an hour, 18 hours a day. And we have park and strides as well, despite Michael saying there aren't any. So that is a plan that is in place because of funding that has been put in Europe.
10 or 15,000 cars?
For transport.
And we have
tell me there's a park and ride that'll take 10 or 15,000 cars? No, there isn't. And
I'm
talking about things that can take potential.
Buses going
like
around
when
Ennis
you're coming into Dublin, like when you're coming into Cork, like when you're going into Galway.
I
was talking first if you did happen to listen.
Of course you were.
The first thing that has to be explained is we have a major problem getting drivers for buses in this country. Like, we're all talking about, we'll put this bus here and we'll do this here. We have a major, major problem at the moment in getting drivers for
buses.
That's
why I got it on the essential skills list, actually, just 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. It didn't show anything. Like, this is
the
problem.
We did actually increase...
Second of all, if you want to cut emissions, guys, and if you want to have a fast win, and if governments took the excise off the likes of HVO... It will work perfectly in cars. You can bring down your emissions if you're so interested in that. But unfortunately, there's been no incentive in that. On top of that, in relation to the I go back to the local link service. And yes, the local link service is a good thing. But there's only one problem. And I'll give you the example, Ciarán. From Roscommon to Galway, there's a service on the hour, every hour, by a private provider. Mm-hmm. But on the archway up and down, there is nothing. And this is where you need the thinking to be joined up between private and public to give the service. And the other part about it is, on some of those services, they stand in towns, they will not stand out the countryside, which is a problem.
All right. Well, listen, we've been talking about kind of transport. I do want to talk a bit more about energy infrastructure, about value for money, about other kind of aspects of infrastructure in the public realm. But what we'll do is we'll take a very, very quick break. Roisin Garvey, Kino Callaghan, Michael Fitzmaurice, Shane Moynihan, all going to stay with me. Mark says, Ciarán, I'm sick of politicians at the end of their government saying how they'll increase the trains and buses when they did nothing during their time in power. And somebody else says, they've destroyed Cork with their moronic plans. They've actually created congestion with their genius bike lanes and transport. So many commuter towns without a bus service, says somebody else. It's crazy. We know now we need to reduce transport emissions for years, pay the drivers more, taxes and SUVs in urban zones, for example, says that listener. Anyway, just some of the views coming in on the text line. With me still, Senator Roisin Garvey of the Green Party, Kino Callaghan, TD, Social Democrats, Michael Fitzmaurice, TD, Independent Ireland, and Councillor Shane Moynihan, who's a Fianna Fáil candidate, Dublin Midwest. Keane, in terms of energy infrastructure, we're in this kind of transitionary period, kind of the days of burning kind of peat in the Midlands and coal and money point, they're behind us, they're meant to be behind us, green energy future. What would the Social Democrats in government do to speed up that transition?
Well, we want to invest in renewable energy and do that, through Bordermona, through ESB. We think we've huge potential in renewable energy. We are way behind where we should be. The port infrastructure hasn't been invested in. Our grid hasn't been invested in. So our capacity even to expand in terms of wind and solar, that infrastructure needs to be put in place to be able to do that. And then we haven't had the proper mapping, the marine protected areas, for example, that were promised by this government. It was a big thing that was flagged by this government. They said they would definitely bring it in. Haven't been done. And the renewable wind energy sector have really been asking for that because they want to have that data. They want to have that certainty. They want to be able to know where they can put in renewable wind, offshore. And without having that marine protected areas done and the mapping, that's really holding that back. Our planning system's holding it back. It's very, very slow. We don't have enough planners. For some reason, this government did more to delay the planning process than anyone else has ever done when they whittled down the membership from Bourke-Nolla to 5 or 6 members and wouldn't appoint new members when there was a controversy going on in Bourke-Nolla. That created a backlog which has really cost us in terms of renewable energy, in terms of housing, in terms of other infrastructure. And I cannot for the life of me understand why they haven't put planners on the critical skills list. We're short of planners. And this is really costing us now in terms of really, really critical infrastructure. So some simple things here that the government could be doing to speed that up.
Shane, so he didn't put, or the government, I know you're a councillor, but a member of a government party, didn't put planners in the critical list, whittled down on Bourke-Nolla, created this backlog that we're now dealing with, and that mapping work that needed to be done, that needs to be done in order to get on with the kind of the infrastructure out in the Atlantic Ocean off the Western Seaboard hasn't happened either.
So the investment, the planning development bill that was passed by the Oireachtas a number of weeks ago will massively streamline our planning process and will address a lot of these log jams and these backlogs as well. So I think it's important to acknowledge that, that streamlining will happen over time. The investment is happening in building up the critical skills that we need right across the piece, not just planners. SULAS will be mandated, and we in government will mandate SULAS to make sure that the skills exist across the workforce. And we were the government party that advocated for the creation of a department solely focused on skills to give us that enhanced and extra capacity as well. And we will in government commit to the 76 renewable wind farms that are there as well. I think it's important to set out that the strategic framework that is there now for us to take off. The focus needs not just to be on the actual plants and installations themselves, but also on the skills to enable that transition. And that is the multi-pronged approach that we need to take to enable that transition.
Roisin, would we be further along that journey had the Green Party more say around the cabinet table? Did Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael hold back the transition?
Well, I suppose, I mean, when we started this coalition, there was no legal or planning framework for offshore wind at all. I mean, that could definitely have started before we started this coalition. So I have to agree with Kino Callan and some of the points he makes there. We are behind, but in 4.5 years, we have managed to get them in place, and we actually had our first auction now and a second auction coming next year between the two of them. That'll be enough to keep the power on in 4.5 million homes. I mean, there's no point in saying we should have done more. We absolutely should have more, but we should have started.
And are you content that we're auctioning off this resource? You know, when you look at, say, the North Sea oil and gas reserves, and you look at the boom that Maggie Thatcher's Britain experienced and the deficit that they're dealing with now, and then you look at the sovereign wealth fund that the Norwegians have because they didn't auction off their oil and gas resources.
Yeah,
why are we doing the Maggie Thatcher thing and not the Norwegian thing?
I suppose, I personally would love if we owned all our state energy, but we do have to have expertise as well in that, so maybe a public-private thing would be the best way forward. I do think that we have a lot of investment put into new courses in the energy agency in the area. I've been meeting with the Irish Guidance Council Association, and I've met with them several times, and we looked at the courses that are needed, and they're much more aware of the ones that we've put on place now through SULAS and through the Centres of Excellence and Thurles and other places. So we are preparing the workforce. You know, 4-year courses that are started already means they'll be qualified in 4 years' time.
Sorry, a 4-year course in Tralee isn't going to lead to public ownership of energy infrastructure.
I know, but
the question was about kind of the ownership of our energy infrastructure. Mm. Essentially, we're auctioning it off, so private companies would be selling that energy that they generate back to us and back to the national grid. When the example surely elsewhere in Europe is to maintain control of that.
Yeah, there are some better examples where it's completely state-owned and lots of other places.
Why have we gone with a bad example?
I suppose I wasn't personally involved in that decision. I would love to see, as I said, a private... I think if we just did it all state-owned, it would take an awful long time because we need private companies that are experts in this field, you know, and we have companies that have been doing this a long time. Mm. If we leave it to the state expertise only to do offshore wind, we'll be talking about it for decades. So let's not pretend that we have the skills that the private sector who've been doing offshore wind for years have. So maybe we should be looking at doing a public-private, so they're not selling it all off like we did up in Carb Gas as well, which was a big mistake back in the day with Ray Burke and them.
Michael, you know, the offshore wind off the West Coast is kind of one part of the picture. I mentioned kind of the Midlands, and Keane talked as well about kind of Bord na Mona and using that infrastructure as well and the expertise that existed there. I mean, this is kind of your part of the world to do geographically as well, and a lot of your constituents. What would you do with all of that?
Well, first of all, the sad reality is that Bord na Mona, once they pulled out, a lot of people lost jobs. When a wind turbine goes up in a place, there's maybe one electrician looking after 40 of them. That's not giving you much work. And second of all, in a lot of cases, they're a blight on top of, like, it's grand for someone that lives in a city, but if you're right beside a turbine, it's not the greatest thing or the nice thing in the world to be beside. I think there's a few things we need to look at. We need to improve on the solar panels, and there is a lot of that going on at the moment. It's not going to be the silver bullet that's going to solve everything. On top of that, Ciarán, there was an opening for anaerobic digestion, right, where you could create gas from, be it silage or cutting the grass or whatever, or from slurry. The facts are, and here is the facts, let no one be codding people out there. There's a lot of people interested in going into it, but the Department of Finance has blocked doing, basically giving a feed-in tariff to that. So until that happens, until the government decides that they're going to do that, it's not going to happen. As I've outlined earlier, and Keane is right in what he says about the line of the DMAPs is the crucial thing that's going to kickstart the west of Ireland, and it's going to create an awful lot of employment. But and the other part is, let's be honest with people here, and I think Roisin and Fairness is right in this. Like, if we go saying that as a state we're going to go to the continental shelf and that we're going to set up and build all this gear, you need hundreds of billions. We ain't got that. Let's be honest about that. So it's going to be private investment that will come in. But what you do, you make the money out of giving out a licence for a certain length of time, mm-hmm. and you put that back into infrastructure in our own country. And to be, I met a group in Limerick with Shannon Airport and the Foynes Port and those that are involved in the offshore wind. And it's in its infancy. If this, it's 2032 before we'll be seeing anything, even starting at the DMAPs now and put, and like, that's only a minimal amount of money that needs to be done. But if we kickstart that, the likes of the assembly would be done at Foynes, the technical part would have been done like at Galway and Killybegs, and we would create a corridor that we mightn't be having rows about data centres, that we mightn't be having rows about where we'll put medical places, and we would be able to, instead of people arguing about lines going across their fields or whatever, you can whip these wires right around the coast, feed Dublin, feed all the different parts. This is a vision we need for the future. This is a vision for balanced regional development that will help every part of the country, be it Dublin and especially the west of Ireland.
Well, you didn't suspect Michael Fitzmaurice now was going to be eating the Green Party's dinner, did you, Roisin?
I didn't eat it.
No, look, I mean, me and Michael both live in rural Ireland, so we're not going to ever fall out about the lack of regional balance and the need for more infrastructure in rural areas. It's why we're all celebrating that we've seen a bus for the first time in 70 years in rural Ireland, when they've had them from ever in Dublin. Bad and all, some of them are. Try come down the country and see how you like it. But I just want to say one point, you know, we did get architects and planners and town planners and surveyors on the critical skills list as well. So look, in 4.5 years, you're not going to sort everything out, but at least we have now got options.
Keen, are you confident, I'm just conscious of time, are you confident that we can get value for money in terms of all of this type of infrastructure that we're talking about, given how much we've talked over the last 12 months about children's hospitals and bike sheds and security huts and everything else?
And no, unfortunately I'm not, and I don't think the public have confidence in that. And we do, you know, this is a critical opportunity for us. We do, Social Democrats have put forward proposals on value for money, for example, having a competence within the controller and auditor office, you know, to be in real time looking at our value for money in terms of public spending. We need to be building up expertise as well. I mean, that's one of the reasons, for example, I was saying, you know, in terms of renewable energy, there is a certain amount of expertise in Bord na Mona ESB, so we should be trying to scale that up. I do agree it's not a case that they can do everything on their own. You do need expertise that is out there available throughout Europe as well. But the value for money element of large scale projects, you know, hasn't often been delivered on, and that does undermine the public confidence in putting resources in.
And that's why in the Fianna Fáil manifesto we believe that responsibility should sit with the NTMA, who have a proven track record of being able to deliver large scale projects and have the expertise and access to the expertise of the people that
But what will you say, this is the final
projects.
Question because we are out of time, but what will you say when you call to people's doors over the next few weeks and they say, ah, hold on, why should I trust a Fianna Fáil politician when it comes to the public finances? Look at how much you've spent on infrastructural projects.
And look how much has been delivered, and look at the plan plan that we have to set out to make sure that they delivered on budget and on time. We spoke about the motorway network earlier on. That motorway network was delivered on budget and on time, and that was a key infrastructural development. That was led by a Fianna Fáil transport minister. So it's important to remember that we have to get the expertise to deliver these projects on time, and that's how we ensure that value for money.
The biggest problem is that over the last five years, we have lost control of keeping account of what projects cost. On top of that, I think as well, Ciarán, one last thing, that people need to realise that over the next 5 years, in electricity and all of that, that it's going to be gas and coal mostly that's going to run it until we keep ramping up into the 2030s. Let's be realistic with people.
I think one thing being really valuable is that we should look at all the money we're spending on consultants in local authorities. We need to have the expertise working in our local authorities and not using all the money to pay others to do it.
Senator Roisin Garvey, who is a Green Party candidate in the Clare constituency, thank you. Michael Fitzmaurice, who's an Independent Ireland candidate in Roscommon Galway. Keane O'Callaghan, Social Democrat candidate, Dublin Bay North, and Councillor Shane Moynihan, Fianna Fáil candidate, Dublin Mid West. Thank you all very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.